It pop short up like yet.
Leprechauns.
Hold on. 3, 2, 1. Go. Hold on.
That's wild.
Yeah, it just says.
That's wild.
Somebody said, Crispy said that clip may have taken the live down. I don't think it should. I mean, we had, didn't we do what's the name prayer?
Yeah. All the way down.
Yeah, it said, y'all heard the little doom doom. Yeah. That was the computer saying that a encoder error happened.
We're live.
Okay.
We're back.
All right, cool.
There you go.
All right, finish your point.
So I need to run it back. And I don't know how much got caught, but I will say this, like, again, as I was saying, for our culture, syncretism is like the soup du jour of the day. And recognizing is like, as I said before, it's like Doechii's very creative. Again, in her Tiny Desk had a praise break and everything. So it's like people, which I'm not surprised, especially again, if you're in America, you've had some form of understanding of like God, Jesus, how much that has influenced your life or changed your life. That's a different story. And so, and not knowing too much about her background, I can't really speak to it, especially just like one of the things is like, I can't speak to too much of it from afar, but mm-hmm. speaking to those that are like, even in taking this in, it's like, it can be enticing because you get an opportunity to see things or experience things that feel very liberating. At the same time, they can also lead you to a place where you recognize it's like those things also have their limitations. And so while you can do all the, you know, do all the sage, the crystals and all those things, and it sounds like, yeah, like in that, like for maybe a little bit, it feels like, oh, they're working or they're coming to get, things are coming together. At the same time, as it has been said, it's like, it's not like we don't have other spiritual principalities out here that allow open doors and opportunities to happen too.
Mm-hmm.
And that aspect of it. And then it's also just being able to know at times it's like some things are just like the natural flow of things. Cause it's like, I'm also not that person who blames everything on the devil. Come it's on. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. be like, my computer broke down. It's like, it's the devil. No, I've had this computer for 10 years. It's gonna go out. Yeah. And it's like at that time. And so in that aspect of it. So just is that it shows about being more diligent and even like, as the Bible says, test the spirits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So y'all saw just a moment ago that Candace Owens had something to say about toxicity. So let's play that clip and react to that. And now that's not showing up. That's crazy. Let me try it again. Okay. Here we go.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not even doing anything.
I think it's safe to say this is spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. Yes, there is. Yeah. I mean, basically, she was talking about how the I guess toxic femininity, the movement, and kind of what you talked about earlier about how different reasons why certain people don't want to be wives, different things of that nature, is because of the culture and what the culture is pushing based off of those estimates of like, and just it's toxic, not it's like not going against, kind of like what we talked about in the toxic femininity video.
Yeah. Andrew Tate and his brother were actually a misandrist culture, women that hated men. Before Andrew Tate, there was Lena Dunham. There was Lena Dunham saying terrible things about the patriarchy, about men ain't this. There were Beyonce albums, there were Taylor Swift albums, and people want to pretend that that's not relevant. Men were getting beat over the head over and over again for just being men, being told your tail needs to be between your legs at all times. There's just something wrong with masculinity. There were all of these fruity terms, toxic masculinity. And finally, you get some guys that stand up and they say, you know what? No, the girls suck. The girls are actually this. The women are not anything. And suddenly the culture goes, I don't know where this is coming from. Well, it came from toxic femininity, actually, is what bred this. And that's exactly actually one of the things that I'm bringing up in my book, which is publishing in a couple of months, Make Him a Sandwich. It gets into the history of exactly what we're speaking about. How did we arrive at this culture? Women produced it. So you can thank Lena Dunham's. If there's something that you don't like about what Andrew Tate says and why young men are following him, we've got to go backwards and take a look at the women who brought forth this modern feminist movement, which was really just about hating men.
I actually agree with you. I think you make a very good point there. I do think it was toxic femininity that led to the fight back. And it's
okay, where are we going with that? Where was she going with that?
Where do we start with
Let
this?
Let them talk first.
Right. My thing is, where do we start with this? Okay. Now, in this sense as well, I feel like in some areas she's not right, but she ain't wrong either. Because it's all over the place. You can go, sis.
I know. It's a lot. I will say, I do believe, like, you've got a toxic femininity in response to a toxic masculinity, or vice versa. Quite honestly, I feel like they fuel each other. And really, both of them are like plans from the enemy to just divide the family. Because at the end of the day, the family is the building block for society. And the enemy is constantly, since day one, you go on back to the fruit and the tree, been trying to divide the family. And so when you have both genders thinking, number one, struggling with their own identity and their own gender, but then also, two, struggling with not realizing that the genders are created to support each other rather than compete with each other, then you have so much division that's sown. And so I feel like for the women, which I'll speak freely about, there is a such thing as toxic femininity. I do believe that today's society has taught women to be self-sufficient, has taught women to be independent, has taught women to be, you know, I'm that boss, I'm that chick, I'm that bee. And okay, that's great. But at the end of the day, you know, you can and should benefit from having a man in your life, just like a man can and should benefit from having a woman in his life.
That's good.
And so when it turns into something where it can potentially be like, I hate men or I don't need men, then that's where it becomes divisive. And so I feel like we, even Christians, because it creeps in the church, you know, especially because of the imbalance that we have, quite honestly, you've got, you know, however many women to one man. And so it can breed competition. It can breed pick-me energy. It can breed all of those things where, in actuality, God's word is still true, whereas he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So if you're focused on God and doing what God has called you to do, then whoever you're supposed to marry will find you. But all that to say, I think because it has creeped in the church, we've had to take a step back and like reiterate, okay, you know, humility is not a bad thing.
Right.
Submission is not a bad thing. Like, these are all things that God has designed, you know, for a way and a reason, not to for women to be taken advantage of or to be mistreated, but because God has established the order in things. And so I feel like we need to kind of take a step back as a church, first and foremost, and really help reset things for women, singles in particular, and then also wives. If you want your marriage to last, like, for real, we need to reset it across the board. So, yeah, just a little bit.
Agreed. I also was going to start there from the natural laws and forms of things. I feel like a lot of it is based on hurt, and a lot of women are upset and pissed. In reality, you want a husband, but everything that you're doing and embodying is fighting against the very thing that you want.
Exactly.
You want to change men, but you really need to change yourself. Mm-hmm. Usually when we go into the Bible and we're praying and stuff, God is always trying to change you first. Mm-hmm. So you got to stop trying to come against the natural order of things. If men are providers, they're providers, baby. Let that man buy you a plate. And stop saying, you got it. Like, literally, you're fighting what naturally draws them to you and naturally attracts them to you. You so hard. Baby, they want something soft. They already hard.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, we got to look at it from that perspective as well. And then, too, we're allowing women that naturally shouldn't be role models to be the role models to speak to you and tell you, yeah, go ahead, you free, use your body any kind of way. When it's like, no, just because I always said, like, why are we going to the standard of men when men should be upheld to the standard of women? Y'all want us to be pure. Y'all want us to be virtuous. We should call them to be virtuous instead of you want to be out there and promiscuous and sow your royal oats. Baby, that's not even what your body is designed for.
Come on. That's good.
That's not even the natural order of things. But you want to be equal in the worst way. let's be equal in the right ways. And then understanding, like, that's why it also goes back to your relationship with God, and understanding and even reading the Bible to understand the power of submission. The power in submission. Baby, you ain't got to be loud to be powerful. And a lot of times people think you got to be loud. You got to be wise. You got to be smart. And where are you going to get that wisdom from? From the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go ahead.
That's so good. Yeah, I resonate with a lot of the things that were said. I think just the one thing I wanted to add is the importance of going to the Word and to God in prayer about what He says about what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman. I think one of the concerns that I have had with our culture and with the way that it's influenced the church is this reality that a lot of times we're just taking on these identities or these ideas of what it is to be a man or a woman because that's what the culture is saying. That's how the church is operating. That's what we were taught. But some of this stuff isn't all right. It's just not like what Plain was saying earlier, like, you can be right and wrong, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think even in the, something I'm wrestling with right now is, you know, what does it mean to have a calm and quiet spirit? Mm-hmm. Is that the spirit? Does that mean I'm not talking? Because I can be very vocal. Mm-hmm. So much of my thought process has been, oh, I need to squelch the voice that God has given me then. Is that what I'm hearing in the church? Is that what I'm experiencing? When maybe it's more so like coming to peace in your spirit with God, mm-hmm. and learning, like, I don't have to suppress my voice just for the sake of behavior modification, but rather maybe just knowing I don't necessarily need to speak right now because I'm at peace and like the Lord validates me. Those mm-hmm. are two different things.
Amen.
And so I think the source of how we're going about these conversations is not always from this intellectual or like behavioral modification thought process or perspective, but just prayer, like being led by the Spirit, because the Spirit is powerful and will lead us into all truth. Mm-hmm. So how are we leaning on the Lord to lead us and going to scriptures and even going to our local community and asking the hard questions and asking God to show up in those spaces and those conversations? So mm-hmm. it's not all one dimensional, but
I'm curious. This is for the ladies. Because I want to know, do you feel like Christian men and the Christian culture has made it safe for women to be feminine and still, you know, in the full range of what it entails, not just like the things that we often hear about women being domesticated, but even like also the other piece in the picture of the, again, the Esthers, the Deborahs, the Ruths, all those things, and not even the Abigails.
Mm. What do y'all want?
Go ahead.
You got some?
Well, mine was going to be a clarifying question.
Oh, okay.
So mm-hmm. I was just going to ask if you could restate the question in a different way.
Okay. So do you feel like Christian men and the church culture has done a good job of creating that sense of safety? This is something that I feel like maybe slightly opinion, mm-hmm. of like women to feel safe to be that feminine being, because I feel mm-hmm. like what we see in a lot of our culture is, you know, women feel like they have to be this way. They have to be like the like men and their aggressiveness mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And then even with that, some of that aggressiveness comes from more of the toxic side of masculinity, mm-hmm. being mean and nasty and all that stuff.
I've definitely experienced both sides of the coin. So I would say as a whole, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But two, the Lord has been leading me in my walk in different ways to really embrace my femininity and show me the beauty mm-hmm. of a woman and the beauty of womanhood. Because I grew up around men, so my approach was always like man to man or whatever. But like, I have experienced, like, even I had a brother text me a couple days ago that he's doing different events, and he was, like, really just acknowledging and inviting to bring me in, like, my gifts and my strengths, and he was like, he feel like his sisters should be, you know, brought into the fold so that their gifts can also be on display as well. And I was just taken away, like, wow, because usually it's men, it's the boy club, y'all doing events, it's y'all on the stage, or whatever, it's not that often y'all include us and invite us in that. And even in this space, in the beginning, I was just like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to fight in like everybody else. I was like, I don't know what to do. But then it was just like, be at peace, be calm. When God gave you something, it's gonna come. And then my brothers would be like, hold on, Shania been quiet. Like even Jeremiah, Shania, you got something to say on this? So like, I do think like a part of that is, like you said, we have toxic masculinity, but I also think a part of that as well is as women, if you want that change, it definitely may start with you as well, knowing that your position and your peace and the beauty of who you are and what God has called you to be, if you accept that essence and step into that, it'll naturally bring about that, what's the opposite of toxic masculinity? It'll bring in the positive, the biblical masculinity, the holy masculinity.
Yeah.
Or whatever. That's so that's my.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I definitely echo that. I mean, I was in ministry full time for about 10 years, and I remember just feeling like the old boys club and feeling like, okay, I'm in leadership, but I still feel like I'm on the outside looking in at times. And for me, I'm not one of like, oh, I need to be in, but at the same time, I need to be able to do my job. So if it's preventing me from doing my job effectively, then we have a problem. And so I literally vacillated between those two spectrums that you're talking about, where it's like, I'm going to force my way in to, you know, okay, let me just go off here in the corner, you know, but really at the same time, trusting that if you embrace the calling and the role and the positioning and honestly the essence of being a woman the way God created you to be, you know, then God will present those opportunities and open those doors when and if they need to be opened, or he may remove you from the situation completely, you know. Even in when it comes to relationships, I was raised in a single parent household, strong, independent Black woman, aunties, grandmamas, great grandmamas, like weren't a lot of marriages around me. But I knew that, number one, I was called to be married, and number two, that it was going to have to look different than the examples of marriages that I had seen around me. Mm-hmm. And so even though I had not seen it, I knew, because I'm a believer and I read the Word of God, that, okay, I need to do something different if I want something different. Mm-hmm. And even if I didn't see it around me, even if I didn't see prospects even, or if I didn't even see, like, it, like you were saying, Shania, I had to change first. So it's like I set the stage for how I was to engage with men and trusted that God would present those opportunities for men to, you know, engage me and interact with me and, you know, cover and protect me or what have you in those areas where I may have felt vulnerable and tried to defend myself initially. And so it does start with you. It is scary. Mm-hmm. It is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But you have to trust first and foremost that God is your ultimate protector. Amen. God is your ultimate covering. And so if you're trusting in Christ to cover you in that regard first and foremost, then you're positioning yourself for your husband or man of God or whomever to eventually come in and step in that role as well. But it can be, to your point, it can be uncomfortable. Sometimes you don't feel like the space is there and you have to fend for yourself, but you have to trust God and be who God has called you to be, even if it may be perceived as weak in the moment.
Yes. Ooh. Oh, that's so good.
My goodness, that
and
was
you
good.
Do feel weak in the
even
moment.
Even if it's perceived as being weak
my God.
In the moment. That's, yeah, that's good.
That was good.
Let Wee. That marinate for a second.
Wee.
Yeah, I might have to go back and re-listen.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Hey, I felt the spirit on that one.
Yeah, that's so good. I think, just to answer your question, for me, I think I have experienced safety in the individual interactions. However, that has felt minimal compared to the larger group settings that I've been in. I think one of the things that I have perpetually struggled with is where is the willingness to accept the nuance of what it looks like for a woman to be all that God has created mm-hmm. her to be. So a lot of that for me has been a struggle. And I have for many years had a very like pushback defensive spirit. Like, I'm gonna fight against this. I think now, in God's kindness, I'm giving in to more of that. Okay, I'm just going to relinquish control sometimes, or when the Lord sees fit. Lord help me. But relinquish control, and when he gives me the go, like, Lord willing, work in progress, I'm a go. And when he tells me to sit and be still. But I think, yeah, so just to answer that, I think I felt it minimally in those one-on-one interactions. But I think that comes from just what Shania was saying, like us doing the individual healing and work. Because I really do believe trauma influences more than we think it does. Like, yeah. It really does affect our interpersonal relationships and our interactions, the way that we see each other with dignity, love, and respect. Yeah. Like, it impacts that. And so I think we have to challenge ourselves individually, but also challenge one another to, like, hey, what does it look like to kind of, like, give room to somebody being a multifaceted human being and honoring God in that. So,
I want to say two things. The first thing I want to say is, three things. One, we actually have a topic like that on Kingdom Ox channel. So
check
those videos out. It's about toxic femininity and toxic masculinity.
Who's it with?
It's on the channel, Kingdom Ox channel.
So, I mean, like, were you talking to somebody?
No, it's just a verbal dialogue about it. You know what I mean? So, and you can hear both perspectives about it. So number two is, one, as a man, we as men have to look at this from a different perspective of what is biblical manhood. Because I think that's what we're missing, you know, because some men.